Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Women's Fittest. I'm so excited to have Liana Kaplan here with me today. So it's funny because you are growing by leaps and bounds on Instagram, and not that like it's been a hard and fast rule, but I didn't even know that you weren't a pro yet. Like you obviously look like a pro and
I
you're
nope, I'm still amateur. And I mean the reality is I probably could turn pro, depending on who showed up and everything. But it's not my time yet. It's like I'm not happy with how I look yet. And when I go out there and I actually do get that pro card, I want to be like, yeah, this is my pro card. I earned that and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Like undeniable. I get that.
No, absolutely. I mean, and God, I mean, I'm spread so thin right now. I'm work, school. I mean, I can't do what most competitors do, and that's crazy off seasons, like crazy pushing off seasons, and then competing every single year. I can't do that, so I have to be a little more, I don't know, I'm a little more
Conservative.
time, yeah, conservative with my time and everything else I have going on, because it's just I'm already spread so thin. And bodybuilding, it's a 24-hour sport. It really is.
Yeah, well, I wanted to, I mean, like I said, I've done this before, and the couple of people that I've had on that were amateur did turn pro within, the year, next year or so. So, I mean, we'll talk about what your plans are and everything, but some really great things that I know people are going to take away from this in the first place is that you are very involved in the industry. I've seen stuff on your story with you're working with like Dana Lynn Bailey and is this through Redcon?
Yes, this is through Redcon. Redcon has given me phenomenal opportunities and all that. And I mean, usually wherever I go, like I went to USA's 2 years ago and everything, I meet some great people. Like I met Jared Feather. I met some Olympians and everything, and then we've just connected and become friends since then and all that. So it's one of those things where it's just like the more you go out there, the more great people you'll meet, and then the more you'll learn, and it's crazy.
It's such a great industry if you are brave enough to look for opportunity and seize those opportunities. I agree because I'm somebody that hasn't, I never made it very far in the industry, but I know a ton of people and through networking over the past 10 years, I mean, this is where all this came about. It's just like, it's like, who am I? I'm not anybody, but I know everybody because I made the effort to make those connections,
No, absolutely. And I won't even say you're nobody. You're not nobody. It's like everybody is on the same playing field. It's just how well you're known. That's it. It's just how many people know you, but we're all in the same people, our same field. We're all people.
Well, I think the camaraderie is, I mean, even if you've competed on some level or another, everybody has the same interest. We all love the sport. We've been following the sport. Something sparked it, and we're living the lifestyle to, like you were previously saying, whatever our ability is at that particular time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And life has this crazy way of throwing things at us constantly, even the worst times as well. It's like, oh, things are going great. And the next thing you know, boom, life. And the next thing you know, boom, life right again. So it's crazy. It ebbs and flows, but it moves forward, and that's all we can really ask for.
Yeah. So I'm kind of want to switch up how I usually do this, but I just want to ask you some, fun questions because I know your life is crazy. You're pre-med right now, is that correct?
Yes, I am in my master's.
What is that looking like on a day-to-day basis, and how are you fitting in
Oh gosh.
bodybuilding?
Oh dear. Okay. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I wake up at 6 in the morning. I get myself ready, and then I go to the lab and I do human dissection. Tuesdays and Thursdays, I get up at 5 in the morning for 7:30 in the morning class, and I am usually in school on both of those days until, oh gosh, well, except for Tuesdays, Thursdays. I'm in class until 2:30 Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then Monday, Wednesday, I go right to work, and then Tuesdays, Thursdays, I'm in class until 6 p.m. So it's usually when it comes to gym, it's like weekends or when people usually take off, that's when I go to the gym. And some weeks it's like I'm only lifting 4 days. Some days I can get my 5 days in. It's really just whenever I can get it in, I'll get it in. I mean, school's gonna be always coming first. It's like my body's not gonna be going for forever. I'm not gonna be a bodybuilder for forever, but I mean, building here, that's gonna be for forever. So that's my priority. I mean, I bring my meals with me everywhere, literally everywhere. It's like I have a massive backpack, and it's just they're all just in there. I've been known for eating in classes. Like some of my professors just know me as a girl who's eating in class. Gosh, what else? I mean,
Well, so what I'm curious about is I know a lot of people get into the medical field and like they're not like I know a lot of people, I've had a lot of clients who were like nurses and going down that path, and they get a lot of pushback from actually being healthy. Like, do you find that it's like are you like weird to them because of being involved in the sport and being so. Yeah.
no, not at all. Because it's like, I mean, you could look at it on the other end too. It's like you could take like, let's say a doctor who's obese, you know, it's like, well, you're a doctor, why are you still obese? Or like, why are you a bodybuilder? And which is so unhealthy, but you're also in healthcare. I mean, you can take it on both sides or whatever. I mean, it's the same thing. And I mean, realistically, everybody has their fiends, everybody has their bad habits, their quirks and everything, and it's not our place to judge. And so you're gonna get, I get people all the time that are like, well, why are you doing this when you could just be bodybuilding? It's like, well, bodybuilding isn't gonna be for forever. And I mean, a lot of what I do actually does feed into bodybuilding because I don't really believe in like the hardcore bodybuilding aspect, like the Sam Solik type way, or like, let's just pull crazy, crazy, crazy drugs or whatnot. I'm more into like the, what's the science behind this? What's the mechanics behind this? What are things that I can do in like my lifestyle with like, I don't know, like my microbiome? Or maybe even like my androgens or whatever that can improve this. So it's a slower step process, less quick gratification and everything, but it's smarter and healthier. And I can actually apply that to my education and everything. And
Yeah.
like there's a lot with education that's so wrong too, like with especially in medicine too. Like, I mean, you take like a nutritional label, for example, that's all based off like a 2000 calorie diet. Everything is based off this one spectrum, but there's so many people just going so many different ways that you just kind of have to explore, all right, what is this my way or whatnot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. I just was wondering if like, I mean, people thought it was weird or, I mean, I know too, you had said something on your Instagram. You get a lot of like things that I'm surprised still people like saying that you look masculine and like, it's trolling still a thing? I feel like that was so 5, 10 years ago. Like what?
Unfortunately, no matter what era we are, no matter who we are, there are going to be insecure people everywhere. And trolling is just insecurities coming into like their thumbs and just saying it out there. You know, it's like if it makes you feel better to bring someone else down, why don't you take a look at yourself and see what you can do to improve yourself? I mean, words are only words until they're actions. A lot of people are gonna just talk smack because they can. I mean, freedom of speech, availability to social media and all that stuff. People are just gonna talk smack. But I mean, the really only words that you should take from people are the ones that you truly value. Because other than that, it's just, you know, the same as like a dictionary, just words on a page.
Yeah, that's really well said.
I mean, the best thing I could say is like whenever when someone says, especially a dude, it's like, oh, you look like a man. I'm like, well, yeah, if you lifted weights too, you would look like a man. Why don't we switch roles?
Right,
It's
right.
like, yeah,
Yeah,
people are
you
just
know,
gonna say what they think because they think bringing other people down just makes them better. When in reality, it's like, what does that do for you? Making someone feel like crap.
Yeah. And you obviously can read people very well. The psychology behind it is somebody, what do they say? Hurt people, hurt people.
Hurt people, hurt people. Exactly.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
mean, you can't control what others do, but you can control how you react to it. So if you feed into it, yeah, they're gonna find joy in that. They're gonna, I don't know, they're just gonna be like, yeah, let's go. This is war. It's like, no. It's like, okay, whatever. It's like
Well,
ignore them like the homeless guy on the street holding the sign. You know, that's the same thing. You just gotta ignore. Just don't draw attention. Just eyes forward. It's the exact same thing as like, don't know.
How often do you help the homeless people on the street, Liana?
It's okay. It's situational, very situational.
know.
It's, yeah, I mean, just same like that. It's like, do I feed into this? Do I? No? Yes. Have I in the past? Have I? Yes, I have. But granted, I usually don't have a lot of just cash on me, but I have a lot of granola bars. So I'll give them a granola bar. One time I gave this homeless guy a granola bar and he actually threw it at me. So after that, I had a little bit of like fear of giving granola bars out. But I mean, a granola bar is gonna be better than a buck. I feel it anyway. Cause like, hey, why don't we eat rather than do something bad with this dollar, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely, I feel like the same way. It's definitely situational because sometimes you see the same people over and over and you're just like, okay, like we've all had situations that yeah, like not to get into, I've been homeless. I've been homeless before, so I know you
Oh
can
no, I'm so sorry. I did not mean to like, oh dear. Oh,
wasn't.
I'm an awful person. I totally struck a
No.
wrong chord. I am so
So
sorry.
I wasn't like a begging homeless person.
No, but still, it's the same category. Now I feel terrible. Oh dear. I am so sorry. I'm a terrible person.
I think about it more like I also got out of this situation. You know what I mean? So
No, I get it.
I'm more judgmental towards people that are homeless and begging because it's like I know everybody has a. You know, everybody has their individual story. So, yeah, I don't take anything from it. There was no.
I feel, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. I feel so bad. I'm like, no. Of all the things I could have said, that's what I said.
She's like, all right, this interview is over.
I just dug myself right into that hole, didn't I?
It's totally fine.
Oh,
So.
dear.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Well, one of the things that I love about, like, so you're 23 years old, correct?
I am 23 years old, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, just like you're young in the industry. And I think one of the things that I really love over the last couple of years, there's pluses and minuses to everything, like we've been saying. And the whole, like, female empowerment movement. I think one of the good things that has come from that is women have really moved into weight training and getting stronger in the gym. And it is a lot more celebrated on social media rather than like, I would say 10 years ago with like me getting into it, Dana being one of the first ones doing women's physique. There was a lot more trolling and a lot more judging of women wanting to get stronger and build muscle. So, and here you are, somebody who has really thrived in a very short amount of time. So, I want to talk a little bit about your journey and how you got there. And I also want to commend you because I feel like a lot of you are very, very smart about how you're looking at bodybuilding and a career and recognizing that bodybuilding probably shouldn't be your career. I think of like Marissa Andrews too. Like she's in dental school, things like that, where you're just like, what is my future going to look like? And I also love bodybuilding. So how are we going to make all these things work together? So I want to commend you for that. Having
Well,
a good
thank
head on your
you.
shoulders and thinking about things that way. So
Thank
let's
you. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It's definitely been tough. But I mean, like I said, it's like my body isn't going to be my main selling piece. I'm not Kim Kardashian. I am not, nor do I want to be. It's like that's not where I see myself. So I don't know, I gotta be smart. I gotta study.
yes,
Lots of
stay in
studying.
school. Stay in school. So let's talk a little bit about your background, like athletics growing up, as a kid. What did you play? And then what was the spark that kind of got you, into lifting weights at the gym?
Oh dear. So I did a little bit of everything. Every single sport that did not include a ball, I did. That is pretty much me. I horseback riding. I did wrestling for a bit. Track and swimming were my two main ones. I actually got offered scholarships for both of those in college, and then I took up an athletic scholarship in college for track. not even a semester. It was like half of like the first indoor season. My knee's just done, just kaput. Like my body is so broken. For 23 years old, I got the body of an 88-year-old. It's so bad. And I'm still dealing with it to this day. And I'm like, I mean, I was joking with this with my boyfriend. I'm like, my life expectancy is probably 27, 30. That is probably my life expectancy. Just because I beat myself up so much when I was younger. But so my coach, he pretty much told me, he's like, listen, if you're a horse or a dog, you should be euthanized. I'm like, phenomenal, great. So I got my second knee surgery, and then I was done with track. I had to medically retire. So I started going to the gym for physical therapy. I had a physical therapist and everything post-op, and I was just going there to get stronger and let out that athletic energy, because once you have it, once you've been an athlete, it's never gone. It's like a complete mind switch, and you can't get rid of it. And for, gosh, it was for like 3 weeks. It was at 24 hour. There was this guy that was literally like just staring at me, and I couldn't read what he was thinking or whatever. And granted, I was still really butthurt. I couldn't do track, which I loved. And eventually I had to walk by him to get to my next machine. And he like trying to talk to me, and I told him, listen, you're not getting my fucking number. We're not going on a date. Leave me alone. And he goes, no, have you ever thought about bodybuilding? And I'm like, what? What? I was like, no, I'm done. And then I just kind of shut it off. He kept pursuing that for, gosh, probably a week after that. And eventually I just sat down and decided just to talk and just figure it out and see what it was about. Because I mean, before I even really knew about it, I was like, okay, this is stupid. This is narcissistic. You're wearing all this bling. You're getting on stage in a spray tan, and I mean, this doesn't look like it's really athletic. You're not really competing. And so I sat down and started talking with him, and that guy ended up being my first coach.
Oh, nice.
So that's how I got into it. And since then, I mean, he's retired coaching. He's moved on to different things, and I've had a couple different coaches in between. But now here I am, and just still bodybuilding, because it's been something that I love now, and my body can handle, because I can rest as needed. I don't need to necessarily worry too much about blowing out another knee, even though I still worry about that. I can fit it more into my schedule. I'm not getting up at like 4 in the morning for practice, and then again the next day and everything else like that. But yeah, that's how I got into it. It was completely by accident. It was one of the best accidents that's ever happened.
Don't you think it's kind of interesting how like we know in the sport that you like most people don't train more than 3 days in a row, right? Especially as you get more advanced, you need to have rest days. But we have kids training 5+ days in a row for sports in like high school and younger.
You know what's actually really interesting is that's actually why I'm so injured, is because as my growth plates were still developing, I was doing two sports at once. I had morning swim practice, then I had school, then I had afternoon track practice, then I went back to swimming. And that was 5 days a week. So this is as I was still developing and everything. So then as everything started fusing and everything, everything was out of alignment. Everything was messed up completely, because I never actually properly recovered. I never let my growth plate settle properly and everything. And so here I am now, a full-blown adult. Everything is, I guess, developed. And except for my frontal lobe, that's not there yet. And two more years. And then I'm still dealing with those consequences of just not doing it effectively as a growing child. So that's which is crazy to me, and a very unfortunate, but they don't tell you these things.
Yeah. I think people just think kids are resilient and they can do it. It's like just because this is what we've always done doesn't mean it's what we should always do, but it is.
Yeah, and also like as parents, they're like, oh, I want my kids to go to bed. I don't want them absolutely running around the house batshit crazy. I want them to let go of that energy. So what's a good place to do it? Sports.
Yeah. And I mean, the lack of sleep too, when you're in sports like that, you know, it's a whole other discussion just about like school and how much time they should really be in school and how much is really necessary in order to learn stuff. I mean, this is why, like, I think homeschooling is great because most of the people I know who homeschool, like, they're done by noon with their kids learning and they learn. It's much more, you know, it's much more one-on-one, it's much more concise. And then the second half of the day is all the extracurricular type stuff. So you can get it in an 8 hour day rather than going to school for 8 hours. And like you said, I was a swimmer too. So yeah, we had morning swim practice and then afternoon it was 3 o'clock sharp. You're in the pool until 6 p.m. and then you still had to go home and do your homework. Like I remember falling asleep in my history book so many times because I was just like, oh, like this is
I
terrible.
cannot do this. I'm learning about old white dead people who I don't need to know about again, ever again.
Right. Yeah. And you're like, oh, I read it. I didn't comprehend anything, but I read it, you know?
God, it reminds me of this one meme. I've seen it. You've probably seen it. It's just like, it's this child and he has this book out in front of his desk and he's just, that's how I feel all the time. Just trying to shovel information in my brain. That's what that reminds me of.
It's funny. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So there's a lot of, I mean, like I said, where do you even begin to start changing these things? Except like people that can homeschool, I think they're figuring out their own remedy. They're just like, okay, the government doesn't really know how this is best done. So
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's also just like a societal like thing as well too. It's
yeah.
like you got all this like these moms in a like Mercedes driving to soccer practice. It's like, oh, well, my kid goes to this school. Oh, well, my kid goes to this school, and it's like next thing you know, it's like okay, so like my kid's on the football team. My kid's doing this. My kid's doing that. It's like okay, and is
Yeah.
it good for your kid? Do you know that?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of pressure too. And I think with social media, it makes it even worse because you have to look more and more like people have their shit together, you know? I have seen so many accounts that I don't follow, but like maybe I was following over the past 10 years or whatever of people who, like a lot of girls who were so lean all the time and they have these fitness accounts and just millions of followers and now they're like they have more body fat on them and they're just like I you know or moms or whatever and they're just like I was doing all of this I hated myself at the time like I was too thin I was too you know what I mean like people just were trying to appease a whole bunch of nobodies out there who are following them clapping and applauding and then they you know, they realize, like, what am I doing this for? You know, attention, like, I'm not happy. And they weren't really happy. And it just kind of floors me how many people were putting themselves out there as, like I said, especially from the time Instagram started up until now. And it was like, oh, it was just a front. Like, you weren't happy and healthy at all.
Yeah, and on the latter, I mean, speaking for myself, I don't even know how my Instagram account blew up. I don't even know what the other, I don't post that much. I just do what I do. I mean, I occasionally post. I'm sure half the photos I kind of just look like a wet dog. I'm just doing my thing. I'm just either really in my off season or I'm really lean or I'm not posting because I'm really lean and I don't like anybody. And just out of nowhere, it's like, oh, okay. That's pretty cool. How neat is that?
How long have you, yeah, you're at like what are you at? Like 100,000 followers
I was
almost?
close to that. I mean, I was at 92.2 a month ago, and then people just decided they hated me, and now I'm back to like 91.9. It's like, okay, whatever. Whatever.
How long have you had your Instagram or that you were?
Since 2017.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I love your account. I think you're hilarious. You have a great personality. And that might be it too. I mean, the more real stuff you post like on stories, you know, because I mean, I don't post on my wall very much regularly anymore, but I mean, people follow your stories just to see like what's going on and whatnot. So,
Oh, absolutely. And
yeah.
like, but my goal is to get to 100,000 by the end of the year. If I don't get it, that's fine. But if I get it, that'd be really cool.
It usually, if you go
And the
to
goal is
the
to get to 100,000 without posting a single picture of my ass. That is the goal. And so far, I'm on that track.
Yeah, you definitely strike me as somebody like your pictures are great. You have one pinned at the top where you're like, what is that from? You're pointing. Wait, let's go to your Instagram.
It's my announcement with Redcon, and I
Oh.
look so mean, so mean.
Oh.
It's like, and then there's me with a sword today.
Nice. Was this something that you won?
Oh no, that sword was it was just a prop. I mean, I used to do modeling, and so I have good contacts with like a lot of like photographers and all that other stuff. And I just did a photo shoot post show, and then I saw that he had a sword. I'm like, can I hold your sword? And then I thought it was really cool. So he got this picture. I don't even know what I was pointing at. But I was pointing at something, and that was like in between shots, and it just ended up being really cool, and I loved it.
Yeah, that's a great photo for sure. Yeah, your pictures are awesome. Obviously, you post stuff about training, which I think is really helpful for a lot of people.
Ah, but unfortunately, oh my gosh, don't even get me started with that though. It's like so many people think that they are like, as soon as they like do one show or they got their CPT through ACE, which is a BS program or whatever, that they are like God tier when it comes to training. And that
Oh.
is not the case. It's like you learn so much, and there's so much new research going out, and there's so many new studies, and what works for me might not work for you, and all that other stuff. It's like I have a video on there of me doing lengthened partials, and I was explaining why I do lengthened partials and everything. And next thing you know, I see another big name Instagram account essentially calling me out. They're like, yeah, we saw this account only doing a set, just a straight set with lengthened partials, and that's bullshit. I'm like, okay, they work for me. I do them because that's a sticky spot. And yeah, in all these stupid movements where people are like, well, do this instead of that, do this instead of that. It's like just it's not rocket science. Just do what works for you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of training wars that go on between different camps. It's kind of interesting. And yeah, you have to just figure out what works for you. It's a lot of stuff like I said at the beginning, social media was like starting to provide a lot of good content. And I love to even like posting, people put more of their off season where it used to just be when people were very, very lean. And but now it's gone to the other side of like there's too much information where if you're only following one camp, you're going to totally think that the other one is wrong because you want to side with somebody. And it's really hard for people to just gather information and sift through it and understand. Like you said, I mean, that's a very good way of just like you try something. Do you feel like it's working for you? You know, you have to give it 8, 12 weeks to make sure that something should be fitting into your program.
Yep. There's a lot of critics without credentials.
Yes. That's very well said. I love this. So 3 years ago, huh?
That is 3 years ago. Yep. That was 3 years ago. I have a ton of like progress pictures and everything. I do. But I don't post a lot of them just simply because, I mean, people don't know me from where I was 3 years ago. And like the comments on that, a couple pages reposted that one and everything. And all of it was just anabolic steroids, anabolic steroids, anabolic steroids. And that is completely false. That one from a girl who didn't know she had, I mean, on the right, a girl who had an autoimmune disease, who didn't know she had an autoimmune disease, who wasn't eating right, who just started bodybuilding, to someone who has now got her health under control, figured out her autoimmune disease, knows what works for her body and everything. And that's the difference. And that's also significantly newbie gains as well too. Those are the 2 years in between. The 1 year in between was crazy newbie gains, and since then it started to slow down. But yeah, God, the amount of hate I got on that one is ridiculous. It's like, what's your problem?
People want things to, they want an excuse why it's not working for them when essentially, like you said, they're not covering all the variables and not correcting the things that they're doing wrong. It is a lot of work. It's a ton of work. And I know I mean, from the same to like my beginnings, I just had a leaner, athletic body. So, you know, when you're leaner, you look more muscular and it's like, oh, well, you were really muscular to begin with, you know? And it's like I weighed 108 pounds.
I started in that exact same boat. I started bodybuilding and less than 120 pounds, and now here I am sitting comfortably in the 160s, 170s, sometimes even 180s.
So, I mean, it's all relative and like pictures are so, they can be so deceiving because, yeah, like you said, body fat differences alone can make it look like somebody gained a ton of muscle when essentially they, you know, are just stripping body fat away. So,
And even again, it's like you take someone who's 5'2" versus someone who is 5'11", 5 pounds on them is going to look extremely different than five pounds on someone who's taller. You know, it is going to be a night and day difference. You probably won't even be able to tell 5 pounds on someone who's 5'11", but it will look like that person who's 5'2" just gained 50 pounds of raw muscle. It's like, what? No.
Well, and this is why a lot of the pros in the industry, I think nowadays especially, there are some that are over 5'7". How you're pretty tall, right?
Yeah, I'm 5'9".
5'9". Yeah. So you get a lot of the pros that are, I mean, 5'4" is almost the tallest. So you get somebody
Yeah.
who's 4 feet tall or 4 feet tall, 5 feet tall, they're gonna be like, yeah, like you said, it's pretty easy for them to be a natural or near natural athlete because that little bit of muscle just looks like tons on such a small
Well,
frame.
yeah, actually, if you look on my Instagram, I have a picture standing next to Derek Lunkford and Kai Greene. Both of those, you can just it scrolled if you scroll down.
That's
I think Derek Lunkford is gonna be the closest one.
yeah, he's huge, but he's shorty.
Yeah, right there's Derek Lunkford. He just went right past him. A little up, a little more.
Here we go. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That's the size difference. You could just tell. I mean, he's, and that's just for a size comparison. It's like, I'm gonna look a lot smaller
Yeah. And well,
next
then
to him.
his girlfriend is about up to here. So she's like,
Exactly.
so she's gonna look way, it's gonna take very little muscle to make her look very, very muscular. So yeah, I
Exactly. So
mean,
it's all a size thing. I'm like, look at Sean Clarita. How tall is he? He's like 5'4", 5'5".
yeah, or less. No, he's like 5'2" or 5'3".
Yeah,
Yeah.
see, I think, I
So
mean, I might be wrong, but I think like the tallest wellness pro is like 5'6".
it's very possible. Yeah.
Yeah,
Well,
so I mean, when you got it's very hard and also very respectful when you're or respectable when you are taller
yeah.
to put on size because it just takes so much work, not so much more time, so much more mass. And even then, I mean, you could also take biomechanics and physics into the question. It's like the range of motion is so much greater. The risk for injury is also so much greater.
Yeah.
So it's like you don't see it that much, but when you do see it, it is incredible.
Yeah. Once you're when you're taller too, like you said, biomechanics, now like squat patterns are completely different than short people who can squat like 400 pounds, So
It's like you got 400 pounds moving 4 feet versus 400 pounds moving 4 inches.
no, I
It's
know.
like, that's not the
I'm
same.
not saying it's easier for one or
No,
the other.
it's not.
Just
It's
saying you have
not.
it's a different type of connection. So you're, yeah, I think there is some, yeah, there's definitely, there's just so many variables. So, I mean, this goes back to the whole thing about like what you're saying about people looking at your training. It's like you have to try things out to make sure they work for you. Yes, there is some things that are rooted in science that we know. But that doesn't necessarily even mean that it's going to work out well for you. This is why anecdotal evidence is also important.
Exactly, yeah.
So you're a fisherman? Is that
That's
the
yes, actually it's my little brother who's the crazy, crazy, crazy fisherman. I used to fish more, now I don't have time, but that cat that oh my gosh, that kid, he could catch a whale out of a toilet bowl. He is so talented.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, how did you get this? Is this a scar or is
That
this?
is a scar, yeah.
Okay. It's freaking cool.
Thank you. Yeah, people think I mean people think I
Yeah.
shave my eyebrow. I don't shave my eyebrow, but I used to hide it. Like I used to like use like
Color.
eyebrow filler and everything. But since then, now I just like clean it up. If there's like hairs around the way or whatever, it's like, yeah, I just like, well, just trim it up and everything. But how I got that scar is I was 3 years old. My PJs were too long. I was jumping around like a crazy 3-year-old, and I smacked my head on my windowsill, split it open from like here to here. Yeah. And yeah, so since then the hair has never grown back. And honestly, that eyebrow is so sensitive to the touch. It's like if I get like just lightly tapped and that's like oof. So I mean I don't have any like scars on the skin because I mean skin just over time goes and everything.
Yeah.
But it that scars, it's always gonna be there.
Yeah, the hair wouldn't grow back. I thought it was really neat. I was like, oh, like people shave, they shave in their eyebrow like all the time. And I was like, people who do
Yeah,
that
it's like, show me a razor that can get that thin too. I
with
dare you. Show me.
Yeah, I think it looks really cool. This is just an odd sidebar, but do you know who Isabel Brown is? Like she's She's I think that's what her name is the Isabel Brown. She's a commentator for like she's like a kind of Republican commentator. You really look
Oh
like
yeah, I've seen her before. I've seen her before.
you guys have you have a similar confident sound to your tone as well. I think that's really funny. Anyways, I was like, do you know who that is?
No, she's cool. Yeah, no, she's totally cool.
Yeah, she is. And I think you guys are she might be a couple of years older than you, but
Yeah, I'm not sure. Oh yeah,
anyway.
that's a good picture where you can see the scar better. Your mouse is on it.
Yes, right here. Yes. So let's talk about let's see. When did you first get into bodybuilding then with this first coach, and how long were you training before you stepped on stage?
I gosh, it was way too quick. That was it was way too quick. And I mean, now that I know more, I realize that this guy, it was not the best coaching situation, but we got through it and we're better off now. It was about, gosh, not even a year. And then he wanted me to do my first show. And then 5 weeks out from my first show, I actually had to get emergency surgery on my hand. So this hand has had four hand reconstructive surgeries. I don't know if you can see the scar. But it
Oh,
goes like,
yeah.
yeah. So I broke my hand not like 9 months prior to the surgery. I didn't know it was broken. So I was like, oh, I just have a sprained wrist, whatever. Trained for 9 months with a broken hand. And then I woke up with my hand like this.
Oh,
Turns out
no.
all the bone died in my hand because it lost all blood supply and everything. So I had to get emergency surgery. So for 5 weeks out from my first show, I had to pull out. Then it was about a year. And then I did my first show. It did not go well because I looked really good for first show 3 weeks out, and then shit hit the fan. And that was after that show. That's when I found out I had an autoimmune disease, and so none of us knew how to handle it or whatever. And so after that show, that's when I was like, okay, I have this going on. This is why things didn't go well. And so I decided to work with a different coach. Well, that different coach was awful.
Hold on 1 second. What year was that that guy first tried to convince you in the gym?
2019, end of 2018, I started working with him 2019.
Okay. And then what was going on? Like you said about 5 weeks out that you found out that you had your autoimmune. Like what wasn't working for you? Like you weren't losing weight because of the diet, or you just felt
My
sick?
everything crashed. So I have Hashimoto's disease, which means my thyroid does not work at all.
Okay.
So I have to take my thyroid is only 20% functional. So, I was dieting, I was losing weight and all that other stuff. And then next thing you know, it's like TSH is elevated, thyroid stimulating hormone, my metabolism crashed and everything. And no matter what we did, we couldn't get it back up.
Okay.
So I didn't know I had Hashimoto's disease until afterwards, when I just was like, why do I still feel awful? Like God awful.
Yeah.
And so then they figured out, oh, well, your thyroid doesn't work. So then I started working with someone who is different, a little bit more osteopathic, to get it working. It ended up being the worst situation ever. Worst situation ever. Like that guy, he pulled me from all my meds because he thought it was going to do better for me, and then it was actually worse for me
Yeah.
altogether. Like I was down bad.
Yeah.
And so then I started working with, or yeah, in between that. So I've actually prepped for, geez, one, two, three. I've prepped for four or five shows. I've only competed twice because I have to pull out so many times for health reasons. Most of those, well, two being orthopedic and the rest just being because my thyroid is crapping out, because I have to be very careful with that. Very careful. But yeah, so I've been in and out of prep all the time, and it's just like, okay, whatever. But yeah, competed twice so far. Two times have been good. Still not ready yet to do the like for my physique to be a pro level physique yet, but it's getting there. It's getting there.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you have a timeline? It seems like your off season right now is focused quite on medicine. What field are you going into?
I am unsure right now. I mean, I do want to work more in like the orthopedics and everything. I wanted to be a surgeon, but because of my hand, I'm disqualified from surgeries. because I have carpal tunnel, and it just doesn't work the same. I get velociraptor hand, so my hand will like curl up like that, so it's not safe or whatever. I'm thinking more right now getting my doctorate in either physical therapy, chiropractics, or doctor in osteopathic medicine, because I don't believe in big pharma. So that's what I'm more leaning towards, but I don't have my heart set on anything at this time. All I know is I don't want to, just do the same stuff every single day. I want every day to be a little bit of an adventure, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. So what's the plan moving forward? So you're still doing stuff with like Redcon and you're in your off season. Is this more just a wait and see type of thing of what your physique looks like until you think you're ready to cut back down and get on stage, or
It's more just like I know I need like 10, 15 pounds of muscle, or at least I know that's what I'm gonna need, in order for me to be probably happy with that. And that's gonna take about maybe 2 years if everything is perfect. So yeah, I mean, without the help of steroids, it's gonna take like maybe 2, 3 years, and that's my guess. So that's I mean, I'm just going to keep moving forward. I mean, off season with everything and all that, it's just going to be moving forward. That's all I can ask for. And then, I mean, the stage is always going to be there. I'm not in a rush. So it's just doing all the things that life has to offer, just getting better a little bit every single day. And then, yeah, we'll just see. I'm not going to put my hopes up too high because that leaves room for disappointment if things don't go great. So we're just going to enjoy the process, and that's also something I've got to work on is enjoying the process instead of n not being where I want to be immediately. So that's the goal for this off season. Enjoy the process.
I do love that. Well, I mean, when your life has so many things that you're working towards, then, it is a wild card. And so it's a lot harder to follow a plan than like somebody who, like you said, has bodybuilding be their whole life. But if bodybuilding is your whole life, then you don't have a plan A, let's say, or a
I
plan
mean,
that
you don't have a
you
life.
can't.
Yeah. I mean, you have a great hobby that makes up your life, but it's not your life. Because I mean, the best way that something I'm trying to also work with on myself is bodybuilding is not my identity. It's something I do, but I'm not me because I'm a bodybuilder. It's just something I like to do and all that. And that's something I want to work on is to identify less of my muscles and more just like who I am as a person, if that makes sense.
It's so funny because I just earlier today I saw this girl give her it was a graduation speech. Whatever she's like valedictorian or whatever, and she like was talking about that, about being a human being versus a human doing. And she said because she had gotten injured, she had gotten her scholarship and or her identity as an athlete taken away from her. And she said it made me think about what I want people to know me as and how I want to be described. And she said, when we're graduating from college, it's like, oh, I'm an engineer or I'm a teacher or I'm a social worker. And she's like, but I like to say like, oh, you're a problem solver. You're like someone who has seen a problem with society and wants to fix that. And she said, I like to identify people with characteristics that define them, not what their vocation is or something like that.
Yeah,
So
not something superficial.
that changes, that can change at the drop of a hat,
And that's totally fine. That's totally fine. Live by it. I mean, don't be disappointed by it. I mean, like we were talking about way earlier, life has this crazy way of just boom, changes or boom, problems. And I mean, if you take life is going to throw things at you constantly. That's just how it is. But it's how you react to it is going to be the important thing. It's like, am I going to let this be the demise of me, or am I going to improve and overpower it and make myself better from it?
And like you said, figure out what your path is because this obstacle skirted you in a different direction rather than focusing on that this freaking obstacle skirted you in a different direction,
I like
So.
that skirted you. I'm going to use that now. I've been skirted today. I'm going to use that now. I have been skirted today. It's a skirting kind of day. That's great. I love it. I love it.
I feel like I just dated myself.
Awesome. It's great because it brings light to a not so great situation. It's awesome.
Okay. Yeah, I mean but that's the truth. It's how life is. And I think one of the things that people run into a problem with getting into this sport is they expect all the stars to align and this perfect path to be set out before them. And you're such a great example of somebody who is, like you said, trusting the process, sticking to things as best you can. And you have a proposed outcome for a timeline, but it's really a 2-year plan, right? As far as stepping on stage goes. And
I mean, with anyone who was wanting to be a competitive bodybuilder or even a well-known bodybuilder, you will know within 6 months of going to the gym regularly and eating cleaner whether you are going to be a successful bodybuilder or not. It's not that, oh, I'll know this in 3, 4 years. You will know within 6 months because it is so much a genetic card. It is so much of that. And I'm not just saying like, oh, how quick you can put on muscles. It's origins and insertions and how your body can recover, and how you can handle stress and how much you can eat, how much you can sleep. It's not just like a genetic beauty pageant. It is a genetic everything thrown into a bowl, and you'll know within 6 months. And you'll get people that just are like just starting their journey and they're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna start my first bodybuilding show in 12 weeks. It's like, bro, you're gonna look like a 2x4 on stage. Don't do that. Don't do that. Save your money. Save yourself. And so, yeah, I mean, that's what I tell people who are trying to get into competing and all that other stuff is spend time with it and see if you really made of it too. Because even to be a successful competitor, a lot of people can't do that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And if you do it for the purpose of, like I did it for the purpose of at that time, that's what I wanted to do is try my hand at competing. And for me, I'm just like, dieting in contest prep probably brings out the worst of my, back eating disorders and that type of thing. Like, it's not a healthy thing for me. So, if a challenge isn't challenging you mentally to be better in some way, then you're just adding shit onto your plate for no reason at all. So, being able to decipher the purpose of a goal rather than just having a goal for the sake of a goal is, I think, really, really important.
And you can be a bodybuilder without being a competitive bodybuilder. You can swim without being a competitive swimmer. You can do all the things every other athlete wants and enjoys doing and all the things you enjoy doing without putting, I guess, a medal around it too. It's about enjoying it. And I feel like a lot of times with competing, that actually takes away the joy because it puts money and value and what your, again, identity or everything on the table.
Yeah,
And
winning.
a lot of ego too, a lot. Like you can do these things without just,
Yeah.
yeah, because competing, God, competitive bodybuilding, if you're doing it right, it is. There's so few people who can do it. So few.
Well, and
Because
even
most
with
people
that,
don't, yeah, it's hard. And most people, just for starters, don't get lean enough. Most people do not get lean enough. And when
yeah.
you do get lean enough, that just brings out ridiculous demons that you don't want to, it's bad. It's bad.
It's so true. I
It's
was
bad.
thinking about I was watching one of John and Renee Jewett's videos, and it was the last show that Renee placed second, and she was just talking about like what it meant to her as far as pushing herself through this as a challenge and everything. And something that I think John said, it's like it goes back to what we were saying. Nobody 5 years from now is going to remember that she only took second at that show, but they
No.
remember her for, her attributes and how she would push through it. And it's like it's all this other stuff. It's not really about the winning. I mean, think about like, did you know who Dana Lynn Bailey was before? Like, you didn't know who Dana Lynn Bailey was when Dana Lynn Bailey was Dana Lynn Bailey. You weren't even involved in the sport then, right?
I actually did see her. I actually knew who she was.
Okay.
I was getting ready for a track meet and I was watching an inspirational, I looked for inspirational
Yeah.
like workout clips or whatever, and I forgot who she was working out with. Maybe it was Robbie. Kilrobi. I'm not exactly sure, but it was Daniel and Bailey with a whole bunch of top lighting and this guy yelling behind her, and she was overhead pressing a bar. And I was like, I love her. Who is she? Didn't know it was Daniel and Bailey. And since then, I mean, as getting to know people in the sport and seeing social media and everything, I'm like, that's her.
Yes. It was probably like a Machiavelli motivation clip or something like
Oh yeah,
that.
the Machiavelli motivation. Yeah. Oh yeah. It was great. It was
Yeah.
awesome.
But like a lot of people don't even know who, the people who started, this sport are. So
No.
it's
No.
your fame in the end is only going to be important to, I mean, the certain people who knew you at that time or knew of you at that time. And then, I mean, the people that are close to you. So,
I mean, let's be real. We're all going to end up 6 feet in the ground eventually.
yeah,
What
in a
do you
hundred.
want your legacy to be? Oh, I had 1.5 million followers and I posted my cheeks on Instagram. Or I just figured out the best way to add size to your calves. Or I just figured out that I or I just learned that this is going to be bad for some people and this is going to be good for others. Or I just figured out the best way to the for the phosphocreatine system or whatever. It's like, do you want to be known for your followers and your cheeks, or do you want to be like actually leave a legacy behind? And I mean, at least personally speaking, I want to leave a legacy behind of this girl taught me this, or she helped me with this, or she inspired me to do this,
Yeah.
rather than you got
Yeah.
deltoids over there 6 feet under the ground, you know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're talking all the meaning of life here. What's your purpose? But I
Right.
mean, honestly, it is the truth, and we can get really, really caught up in social media because it makes important people seem unimportant, and unimportant people seem important. It's just like it's not real. I mean, I say that all the time. Like, it really isn't real. As real as people try to make social media,
That is that you can put all like the crazy like music in the background, you could do all the lighting, all the editing, but it's like, let's be real, the big picture is you are filming your workout rather than really doing your workout.
Yes, I know.
And it's like, because
And
I'll have people in
people,
even RedCon be like, oh, you should like film while you're working out. It's like, I'm working out. I don't
yes,
need to justify that I'm working out.
yeah.
I'd say I don't need to show everybody that I'm working out. Like,
And it's
I'm
so
already doing it.
time-consuming, and I think I love it, but I think a lot of people don't really appreciate because they've never filmed a workout, so they don't know that it's awkward. You get in the way of people at the gym. You end up doing an extra set or two. A lot of times, like if I would film, I'd film my warm-up set because I know at least I'm going to be doing that. Otherwise, I'm doing like extra sets. And then it's like, oh, well, you only have a little bit of weight on there. Yeah, it's just my warm-up set. I'm just showing you what exercise I'm doing. But it's like, what for? Like, really, is this the best way to allot my time? So,
And like
yeah.
with bodybuilding, I mean, it's quite simple. Let the physiques speak for themselves. It does not matter how much weight that person has on there. It does not matter if they're filming or not. It does not matter. Like, I mean, posing does matter, but it does not matter how many likes you have on Instagram. The physiques will speak for themselves.
I love that you had talked about the genetics to it too, because it's like I know that there are some people in the industry who are able to be a little bit more lax about how they do their prep, but for the most part, these are people that are having a groundhog day every single day, day after day after day, in order to achieve that Olympia
Yeah,
physique.
and also, I mean, some people, I mean, metabolisms are quite different, recovery is quite different for everybody. The more you prep, the more preps you do, the better you're going to get throughout it.
How you handle stress, it's those other things as well, how you handle things. If you have another job that's stressful, or if you can dedicate, I alone, like my job is very physical, so I'm getting like 15,000 steps in a day. Like, that's pretty tiring. It's a tiring job. And I know like people too who've done like construction, and they're like, I can't do this if I want to add size. You're like, no,
Exactly, yeah.
you're burning so many calories and you're fatigued all the time. So,
Exactly, yeah.
But it's like, hey, you got bills to pay, right? Like
We got life, life.
this is more important than stepping on stage in your underwear and a spray tan.
I'm
So
getting skirted right now. I got to take care of the skirting before the bodybuilding.
you a shirt that says life skirted me.
I would so wear that. I would sew that life skirt. That is amazing. That is the quote of the year. Life skirted me.
It'll be my new tagline. Usually, I end the podcast with healthy looks different on everybody, but I'm just going to be like, life skirted me. Like,
God, it's only appropriate, especially considering how rough this last prep was for me too. It's like I totally got skirted in that prep. Oh God.
so what is it that you're like? So, are you just running into issues with Hashimoto's every time you do prep?
Yeah, well, not only that, but I mean, I was born with chronic insomnia.
Oh,
And
that's
so
right. You, I saw you post about that on your story asking for any suggestions.
last 10 weeks of prep, I was getting maybe 2, 3 hours of sleep a night. And then eventually it got to the point where I actually started passing out because my body was breaking down.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where I was experiencing symptoms of like psychosis and schizophrenia and water retention. I started losing muscle. I probably lost 10 to 15 pounds of muscle off my frame.
Sorry.
But me being the hard ass I am, I was not going to back out. I'm like, I'm 10 weeks, we're going.
I was
So
laughing
between
how you're like,
Hashimoto, oh, go ahead, sorry.
schizophrenia and water retention, as if those are like, but yeah, like hallucinations are very common if you go days without.
No, it wasn't even that. I would just be sitting there and it'd be like 50 different voices talking to me at once. And I probably shouldn't say this because everyone's gonna be like, oh, this is why you shouldn't do bodybuilding. But I'm gonna say it. There's a solid 4 or 5 weeks. I don't remember anything, nothing. I don't remember what I was doing. I couldn't tell you what I ate. I couldn't tell you if I worked out that day, nothing. There is a gap in my memory. And like I said, I've had chronic insomnia since I was born. It was my fault for starting PrEP because the medication, which I've been taking since I was 6, it started losing its efficacy or its efficiency. And so that was right when I started PrEP, and I should have known immediately. I was like, nope, we're not doing it. We got to get this medication figured out. But nope, I was like, oh no, I'm just stressed and whatever. It's finals because I started prep when I was in school. Most of the time I'm prepping, I'm in school. So I was like, oh, it's just stress, whatever. I'm not sleeping well. Nope, 10 weeks out, shit hit the fan. It hit the absolute fan. And 2 months afterwards, because now in 2 months now, I'm still going to the doctors every single week. I'm still getting tested. We are still figuring that out. The only thing that has actually been able to put me to sleep is Xanax and Ambien.
Wow.
So it's like it was, and this is not something we could have predicted. This is not something that could have really necessarily been prevented unless we pulled out, because prep insomnia is a thing. But then insomnia on top of prep insomnia, and it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
So I'm between Hashimoto's and that, not fun. Not fun. Do not recommend it.
Well, I mean, we'll have to see. Like you, this is it's important to think about. Like you have to take into consideration all these aspects and if it's even worth it in the long run. You know what I mean? I mean, you look at you have a vocation that you're headed down. You're involved in the industry. You're a prominent figure on social media. You know, you're getting to do things and meet people, and you're still getting to train and eat and do the things that you love. Sometimes it's just about evaluating if it's even important to do. I mean, like I had the same thing. It's like after a couple of failed preps, after my first few preps, it's just like this isn't worth it into me anymore. I have hypermobile joints. I kept getting injured, and I'm like, my body does not like being this lean and working this hard and trying to figure out the balance between how much I can push when I'm, you know, depleted and on this low of calories and dieting and everything else is not, it's not worth it to me. Like, what is the end goal, you know?
And unfortunately, I mean, if it was up to me, I wouldn't be competing. Like every single one of my preps have been encouraged by somebody else. I have never been one to be like, yeah, I want to prep. I hate prepping. I hate that.
Liana, stick to your guns.
No, I do, but it's like the reality is I want that pro card. I want it so bad. And
Yeah.
also just, I mean, it's not just for me either. It's like I have a company I gotta stand behind. And if I'm a competitive bodybuilder, I have to live a competitive bodybuilder lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then it's also like I said, I want that pro card real bad. After that pro card, I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know if it's I'm gonna continue from there, but I want that.
Well, and I don't think it's out of your reach by any means.
It's not. It's just whenever I feel like I'm ready to. 'Cause like I said, I mean, I was gonna do a national show after the show I did just do, but I could not with my health. I could not do it. I
Yeah.
could not do it. It would have been probably it could have honestly very well killed me. It could have. It was that bad.
Yeah.
And so I mean, I was looking at like the girls at the lineup for nationals and what I was looking like, and I would have won.
Yeah.
If I pushed on for 2 more weeks, I would have won. If I went to North Americans, I would have won.
Were you planning on competing in figure or women's physique?
I did women's physique by a joke. I signed up 24 hours the night before. I just want to do it because I hate the heels. I'm a figure competitor 100%.
Okay. Yeah, I know a lot of people struggle with the heels are. Yeah, that's why I did not do.
Well, I just love physique because they have a routine. You don't just have to do the
Yeah.
quarter turns and everything. It's like I hate that.
Yeah. I
It's like
mean, they do the
you can
quarter turn.
flow, you can be yourself, a little bit more personality, and you don't have to put
Yes.
6-inch stilettos on because those, God, those suck.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't have any fat on your feet.
Very painful.
It's like you're walking on bones and stilettos, and that is not a great combo.
I'm trying to think that Latoria Watts had, I think she mentioned this particular shoe. I interviewed her. It was probably been like 3 years ago now, but she had a
Yeah.
particular shoe that she talks about that's like very comfortable.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but I also have a problem with that. The size of my feet are ridiculous. Like, no, like most boyfriends worry about their girlfriends stealing their hoodies. My boyfriend has to be worried about me stealing his shoes. So I have to get my heels custom made. Because of how big my feet are, and that's from swimming. Like I got big hands and I got big feet from swimming.
Oh, yeah. You know what? It's funny because I have huge hands too, and my mom would always say that to me. She's like, "That's why you were a good swimmer, because you had paddles."
Exactly. I mean, look at Michael Phelps. He's got some massive ass hands and he's got some massive feet. And these are like the physiological and genetic things that come into play too, just
Paddles
like with
and
bodybuilding.
flippers.
Yeah.
Paddles and flippers. What event did you swim?
I was 100 IM, 100 breasts, and 50 free.
Okay. 100 IM or 200 IM.
Well, I mean, this is in high school, so you could do, it was 25. There were 25 lengths, so you could do the 100 or the 200. So it wasn't 50 yards, it was 25 yards.
Oh, I don't remember us having 100 IM. I think we just had the 200 IM.
Yeah, we had 100 IMs.
Interesting. Very cool.
But yeah, I mean, I was a great breaststroker. Great breaststroker. Hated butterfly with everything. I'm pretty good at back. Freestyle was just boring to me.
Yeah. Is fun if people know about swimming. There's a lot of variety in swimming.
Oh, it is. It's fun though.
Yeah. And track too. What did you run in track?
I was a sprinter, a hurdler, and a long jumper. So I never ran anything over 200 because anything over that was just god awful. I just knew how to run really fast and turn left or jump really long into the sand pit.
You strike me as a hurdler. They're all a little bit, you're a little bit crazy.
Little batshit crazy. Yep, we all are. Then out of that batshit crazy, I don't know if you know horses that well, but I used to do rodeo and I was a can chaser. And all those girls are batshit crazy too.
We had horses when I was growing up, and then my dad got rid of them basically by the time I, like when I was about 10, when I really would have appreciated having horses, and we didn't have horses anymore. But yeah, we had horses when we were growing up, but nothing like rodeo horses. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was fun. It was real fun. I stopped that immediately once I got into college. It was actually by accident too, because I had 3 horses, and then in 1 month I had 0 horses. 2 died, and then I sold my first horse ever because she was ancient. And she ended up going to a girl I used to do riding lessons for because I couldn't ride her the way I used to. And she loved that horse. I'm like, all right, this horse blessed me with my first rides. She's gonna bless you now.
Aw, that's awesome. That's horrible that the other two died. What, just ate?
Yeah. No, they were rescued together. So they were both rescue cases, and one of them died from colic, and the other one died 2 weeks later from depression and malnourishment because he wouldn't eat.
Yeah. They're, oh my gosh. It's really tough. Like, well, part of the reason that my dad got rid of the horses is because, like, they don't really do anything. So they just eat a lot and you have to take care of them. And so, I mean, when you're on a farm, you tend to have animals that produce something. So, yeah.
It's yeah, horses are expensive.
Costly pet. It's a very costly
It
pet.
is a very costly pet.
Yes.
Unless it's bringing money in, it's just taking all your money.
Do they eat? Because they eat so much.
They do, and if you want to get them the good stuff, that's even more expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's very
Horses are great. I miss them. I definitely will have them again someday, but just right now, I don't have the finances, the space, the time, or anything. But horses are in the future. They absolutely are.
Where are you in Colorado? Is that where you live? Have you, is this where you grew up? Yeah.
My
Nice.
entire life.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great here. It's great, but also it's not. It's kind of turning into California 2.0 a little bit, which I'm not a huge fan of.
Yeah, that's interesting. You getting a lot of people moving in? Yeah.
It's like, don't come here. Don't, don't.
Are you a
What was
blue
that?
state? Are you a blue state or a red state?
I don't even know.
Okay.
I don't even know. All I know is I just don't tolerate a lot and a lot of people. Especially the people coming in, I'm like, what? It's
You're like, don't
like
take my country.
you can tell who's from Colorado and who's not at this point just by like having like conversations or just looking at people.
Okay.
It's sad. It's really sad.
Well, I mean, I think that people are looking for something that's a little bit more country, but yeah, that's what happens when you get people who are city moving into something that's a little bit more country and
Not country. Not country.
you're like, this is my rodeo.
Not even that. It's just you got all these people, just like these city children, listening to like country music and like driving around their trucks and wearing cowboy boots that don't have any scuff marks on them, and all this stuff, thinking that they're like all this like redneck blue collary. It's like you've never even seen horse shit in your life. What are you talking about?
Yeah, this is, yeah. Well, I think it's really hard now for people to even be country because we're like doing away with it, you know? So,
It is. It's really sad because the real
real
farming
farmers.
industry is actually going down, and now it's becoming into like all GMO production and everything. And so it is sad to see the real farming industries be going down.
Yeah, for sure. I know I grew up on a farm and yeah, I mean the things that I've seen.
So you know how it is, you know.
I know it's so funny because people are like, oh, like a farm, like that's so great. And you're like
No.
so much death and destruction.
It is dirt everywhere. There's not a clean surface in sight.
No, that's for, that's, yeah, that's absolutely true. Like shit on everything, you know, you just,
There's a thin layer of dust on everything. You wipe it off, and then it's right back on there. It's like, well, no.
Yeah, I have a funny story. So my dad was a duck farmer, but our neighbors were like cattle and stuff. And so we had like cornfields and wheat fields all around us, and they were fertilizing across the street from our home. And one morning I was getting ready for school, and I had my window open, and I was getting ready, and I was curling my hair with a curling iron, and I was at school, and I would like turn my head, and I was just like, what smells like shit? Like I just kept smelling it. I had baked the manure smell into my hair with the
Oh,
curly hair.
gosh.
My hair smelled like manure all day. Yeah, it was so gross. I'm just like,
That is so true though. That is really so true. Oh my gosh, that is hilarious.
I'm the farm girl. I smell like shit.
It's the new perfume. You didn't hear that? It's the new Coco Chanel smell.
Terrible.
So true
Oh
though.
my gosh. Well, Liana, this was really, really fun. And I knew it was gonna be fun because I know you have a you're a spitfire.
Well, thank you. I hope in a good way.
Yeah, very much.
And
Great.
again, I apologize about the homeless comment. I still feel so bad about that.
Don't.
I was like, oh no. I was like, no, oh, God, I still feel so bad about that.
I have way worse trauma that would have set me off. That was nothing. No, just kidding.
Okay, good. I'm like, as long as there's no hard feelings, because I'm not trying to burn bridges, such a wonderful woman like you. I'm like, oh no.
You're so sweet. No, I wasn't, and I wasn't thinking that at all when you said anything. Like, I wasn't thinking anything. No, and it's not something that people know. And if it was something that was so, it's like a lot of things, right? That you go through for one reason or another. You're just like, this is my situation right now, and I'm gonna do my best to get out of it and learn from it. And I don't know, for the most part, I don't think too negatively about anything that people would consider negative because all those things kind of make you who you are. So
Absolutely. Again, back to the identity. What is my identity?
yeah, absolutely. Well, is there any final words that you have for the women listening? As somebody who's younger in the industry, what are you thinking?
Be completely unauthentically yourself. There's going to be a lot of people telling you what's right and what's wrong, a lot of people giving you their opinion and everything, but you will know, try things out, but don't dim your light or don't change who you are to appease other people. The most attractive trait someone can be, especially as a woman, is unapologetically herself. It's like there's no man, there's no coach, there's no company, there is nothing that is going to be worth you losing who you are to. And also just be respectful of yourself too, like just know that you will be respected if you are posting your biceps more than you'll be posting like an RDL video with a back shot view, So that's what I have to say is just be yourself and just try things out, but don't lose who you are, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there isn't anything more special than the fact that we are each our own unique person. So it's like, why would you try to be somebody else or deviate from who you are and the path that you're supposed to be on? It just.
Exactly. Oh, also, if you pick up a barbell, you're not gonna look like me in like 3 weeks. Go to the gym, lift up the weights. You are not become an absolute monstrosity by being active. The amount of and just being healthy and lifting weights, the amount of side effort I have to put in to do that is not something you're gonna need to do just to be healthy.
Yeah.
So don't be scared about putting on muscle. That's another thing.
So I'm not going to accidentally look like you.
You're not absolute, no, not by accident, no. And even on purpose, you won't look like me because genetics.
Yes, exactly. I know I say this all the time. Like, you can give the same 10 people the same 10 tools, and they're going to build 10 different things because,
Exactly.
material is different. Their ideas are different.
Everything is different. I mean, genetically, we are all 99.9% the same, but that less than 1% makes up everything. Everything.
All the uniqueness. It's all.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love it. Well, you're very unique, and I love it. I love it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on, and maybe we can do, I would hope to do this again. This would be great.
Yeah, I would love
If
to.
you invite people again or whatever in like X amount of years or whatnot.
Yeah, I think that I'm going to be getting more into doing groups, and I love just talking about topics, and so yeah, and I will invite people that have been on in the past to come back and share their opinions on a lot of fun topics. I think I love having little group chats, chick chats type
That's
stuff.
awesome. Yeah. You know what? That might be cool if you do live stream chick chit chats too.
Do a live stream like on YouTube or something. I'm just
Yeah,
thinking.
something like that. That'd be cool.
I think it
If
would be.
people could throw in questions or comments or whatever.
Yeah, I think having people do questions is always fun. It's tough. Like, maybe you get more. Do you get more questions about like from guys or from females on your social media?
The amount of fetish questions I get is ridiculous.
Yeah. That's why I tend to try to just come up with topics on my own that will then cover things, because otherwise you just get like, I know even like YouTube is not something that I'm really trying to promote, because I want people to listen to the podcast on the podcasting platforms and on the YouTube channels. Like guys are like, I've had people who are like, I watched this whole thing and nobody flexed or anything. And I'm like, yeah,
Yep.
this isn't.
This isn't the gun show. You come to the wrong place.
That's
This is
right.
behind the gun show.
Yes. It's like, oh, they're real people. That's what I want to talk about. I want to see how your brain works. I want to hear your story. I want your opinion, or if you have evidence behind something, like
Exactly. You can wax your carrot elsewhere. This is the real.
yes, this is not what we're providing.
No, this is not a service to you. This is a service to the people.
Yes. Yeah. And it's more like, to me, that's just how, like, I'm just trying to gear this more towards women. I want the channel to be from women for women. And I know we have guy listeners and they can appreciate a lot of the information, but yeah, it's not who my audience is, This
I
isn't
love that. That's
OnlyFans.
awesome. That's
Brianna,
awesome. Oh God, my hair's all over
people
the
want to.
place.
Your hair is gorgeous.
It is. I have to keep moving it because if I keep it in one place for too long, like in a bun or whatever, it actually gives me a headache because I have so much hair. It's like, it touches my butt and scares me sometimes. So I'm like, what the heck is that? And it's just my hair.
That one photo I was looking at that I had pulled up, I was like, oh, and the hair gains even were pretty. You had like, I don't know, 6 more inches or something like that. So.
Oh yeah, I have a lot of hair. I have a lot.
Pretty impressive. Liana, where can people tell us your Instagram again and explain this too, because so your name is not, it's not Leah or
My
Lena.
name is not Leah. My name is not Lee. It's Liana. And my tag is spelled the way you would say my name. So LeeAhNuh dot K.
I love that.
Liana.
Perfect. So if they want to follow you, they can find you on Instagram. Is that going to be the best place?
Yes, absolutely. Instagram is going to be the best place. That's the place I'm most active with the limited amount of time I have. So yeah, Instagram is going to be where it's at. And feel
Perfect.
free to like DM me, ask me questions or whatever. Yes, I do look through my DMs. The majority of them I ignore, but if it is like something valid or applicable or smart or something that you could benefit from, I'm so more than happy to have a conversation with you or whatnot. I promise I'm not as mean as I look as that first photo, because I look like a bitch in that first photo on my Instagram.
I love it. Oh, all right. Well, thanks everybody for listening and watching to another episode of The Women's Fittest. You can find us wherever you download podcasts, and you can follow me on Instagram at The Women's Fittest or at BuffCake22. And remember that healthy looks different on everybody. Or what was our other tagline?
I'm getting skirted by life.
Life skirted me.
Life skirted me.
Have a great day.